Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
On Overtime Media.
Welcome into another episode of Dove Valley Deep Divers. I'm your host, Kenneth Booker. And here today with me today is my main man, Eric Trickle. How you doing today, Eric?
Doing good. I'm nice and toasty instead of freezing cold in my office, but I'm doing good. I'm tired. It's been a long week, but doing good. Excited to talk about, you know, Broncos football, the Chiefs, hopefully seeing them bounce back after this last game against the Ravens. But I'm excited to be here. Excited to have a fun conversation. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to at least keep it on the shorter side. Don't want to hurt anyone's ears as we have the fire department coming in to test the fire alarms at some point. So I got to jump out of here for that. But yeah, I'm excited to be here again after missing last week.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you back. It was good to see Lance. It was really nice to talk to him again. And also, if you guys are over on watching this over on Facebook or trying to watch this over on Facebook, we're having issues with connectivity over there. So if you can come over and watch us over here on YouTube, it would be greatly appreciated. We apologize about that. Every once in a while, some stuff like that happens. I know the weather's kind of crazy all over, so apologies again. So today we're going to start off our show. We're talking about this upcoming matchup against our division rival, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're undefeated, 8-0, but even though they're 8-0, I feel like they're a beatable 8-0. They're the most beatable 8-0 team I've seen in recent memory due to a few different things. And we're going to start going over that in today's episode. One of the main things I saw is, like, if you go back in their all their games this season, 6 of 8 of the games have only been one-score games. Mm-hmm. So their record can be completely different depending on if there's a turnover or a bad penalty. Usually it's going in their favor recently or this year at least. But so they're not the Patriots of was it 07 or 09? What was that year?
Oh,
when they 08? Went 16-0.
Was it 08?
Maybe it was 08. So they're not the same type of team, whatever. They're not just a dominating team. So I'm really excited to see if we can knock them off that pedestal. What do you think about their last 6 of 8 games?
I think it's funny because every week I do a point of emphasis, which is, you know, where the Broncos need to have, you know, focus on for this upcoming game. Not matchups, nothing like that, but just a certain aspect to it. And you actually hit both of them in your comments there. One of them was the Broncos defense needs to keep it close to keep the offense a chance because the Chiefs are a team that, as you said, 6 of 8 games, one score games, and the Broncos offense, they have really come alive in those, you know, final 10, 15 minutes, that final quarter. So if the Broncos defense can keep it close, there's an avenue to win there. And then penalties, they have to play a clean game. 52 penalties called against the Chiefs where their opponents are averaging, I think, like, or 42 against the Chiefs. And then I think 53 against their opponents or 52 is right around 10 or 11 more penalties against their opponents. And the Broncos, they're sitting at 62 penalties called against them. So they got to play a clean game because one of the big issues that the Broncos have is, especially against the last few weeks, is they gave those extra first downs on defense mm-hmm. by penalties on third down. And the Chiefs offense this year, they're beatable because this offense isn't the standard offense we've come to know. Like, it's not this high-powered flying offense that has just been dominating. Mm-hmm. They've just barely been getting by, and you can't afford to give them those extra downs. When it's third down and your defense makes a stop, you can't give a penalty to give them an extra chance at it or a fresh set of downs. You need to get off the field. You need those possessions for the offense, and you can't essentially give them a second one. So both those are my point of emphasis for the Broncos this year. And, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think the Chiefs are very beatable. I think that when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, of what you need to do on the field in terms of, like, stopping players in key matchups, which also came out, which I just sent in today, defensively, you got to stop Kareem Hunt on first down. I think that's where it all starts. If you can stop Kareem Hunt on first down and limit him to less than 2 yards on first down, then you're putting your defense in a prime position to succeed. Because the Chiefs have one of the most efficient and best passing offenses on second down and six, seven, 8 yards in that range. Okay. They are the most efficient and the best passing offense in the NFL.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of information. They're a dangerous team. And they seem to display well. Maybe like they're falling in that level, like with old Golden State Warriors on the basketball, whatever, where the regular season was just, I don't know. It was just until you got to the playoffs. That's what they were playing for. They don't really care about the regular season. They're still finding ways to win, which is insane. Penalties. Penalties on third downs are brutal. Because you feel like you've done everything to get them off the field, especially on extremely talented teams like we were on against the Ravens or this week against the Chiefs. They're extremely demoralizing. You had to do it all over again. And usually those teams like that will make you pay. Their next play is like a touchdown or a 50-yard pass or something to that effect, to where they're like, yeah, don't make mistakes against us because we will make you pay. So, and then we had with David McGrath coming in here. Good evening, Broncos country. 10-7, let's go, Bo. That would be nice. Yeah, 10-7 would be nice. Where are we sitting at right now? 5-4?
5-4, yeah.
And then we had another where was it over? Somebody else, one of our regulars. Oh, Mr. Osborne, here we go. How you doing, Roy? Thanks for coming over here from Facebook. We apologize about that again. Have a great show, KB and Eric. We really appreciate it. Forgot that K at the end for Eric. Another thing I was going to talk about was Patrick Mahomes. We were talking about Patrick Mahomes and also Travis Kelce and how they are playing subpar by their standards. I know they did have I know Patrick did have a very good game his last game. Yeah. But before that, he wasn't standing out too much. We got him 14th in the league with 1,942 yards. And then 10th in the league on touchdowns with 11 touchdowns. He's also fourth in the league in interceptions. I think he had 9 interceptions.
Yeah, 9 interceptions.
So it's almost like a touchdown for interception ratio. That's insane coming from him. He usually is like a 3-4 or I don't know. Yeah. It's insane how he is. And so we'll see if we can put him into situations where he's uncomfortable and make some turnovers, because we're going to need to play a perfect game. We're going to need turnovers. Together to win this game. What do you think about the matchup against Kelce and Mahomes? Do you think we have the advantage, or
it's tough? Because when you go back and watch Travis Kelce even last year, you could see that there were signs of him slowing down and not being as dominant of a player as he is. There were still some great games from him, but he's had to change the way he's played, and the Chiefs are changing the way that they're using him and utilizing him, and that has led to some issues. As well as, you know, just not having a ton of talent at wide receiver to help take some of that pressure off. I mean, there's a lot of issues with this passing game. I mean, you touched on it. A lot of it's Patrick Mahomes. Going back and watching him, he's pressing a little too much, which is leading to those interceptions. But despite the issues with that, he is still putting points on the board. I mean, 11 touchdowns. And his EPA per dropback is 8th in the NFL. It's the 8th highest in the NFL. Wow. And so he's finding a way to get it done. He's taking some of those easy completions moving the ball, not quite, you know, the big explosive plays that they were getting, that were, you know, accustomed to getting, especially back when they had, you know, Tyreek Hill, which obviously it makes sense. And they do a good job of keeping him clean. He has the fourth lowest quarterback pressure percentage here, and he's only been pressured 80 times. But when he gets pressured, a lot of them have turned into sacks this year, as he has been sacked 16 times so far this season.
Okay.
So he's not facing a lot of pressures, only getting pressured about 26.3% of the time, but those pressures are turning into sacks at a high rate. So I think that's going to be a good thing for the Broncos defense, and that could disrupt it. You know, this connection that he has with Travis Kelce, yeah, getting that pressure, getting him flustered a little bit, as long as the coverage guy can hold up a little bit, which we saw some issues with that this last week. But again, Lamar Jackson is a completely different animal when it comes to using his legs than Patrick Mahomes is. That is a way to do it. Get pressure. And again, Vance Joseph, he can't do what he did against the Ravens. He can't sit back and not blitz. The Broncos struggled to get pressure against Lamar Jackson, and they have been excellent when they're blitzing, getting pressure. They're one of the best teams at generating pressures off of blitzes and creating that disruption.
Okay.
He's got to go back to doing that. You got to go back to playing man. And yeah, exactly. Got to go back to playing man, and you got to sit there and apply the pressure up front.
Yeah, so I was thinking that when Rodney Garcia came in here with this and hoping that we play more man coverage instead of zone. Yeah, that was kind of weird how they decided to change up their whole game. I'm not really a fan of when you're doing so well with something and you decide to change it just for the situation. Like, mostly like in prevent defense, I hate prevent defense.
Yeah.
You're shutting a team down an entire game. I understand it can turn into a situation where they can get over the top and we can get Raheem Moore'd. But you can still play smart and aggressive. And yeah, I don't – you're going to – because while Lamar Jackson is more athletic and faster and has better quickness than Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes still has wheels on him.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes is he's a crafty runner. Like that little sideline thing where he looked like he was going to go out, he kind of wasted it on that play because I feel like next time somebody's going to hit him.
Yeah.
I would. I don't care if he steps out. I'm going to hit him now. But, yeah, he's his feet, his creativity, Travis Kelce, with the lack of the rest of the receivers is good for us. But I remember at one point somebody was putting out some article on our station, but that they were trying to get Tyreek Hill back. I don't know how real that was.
Yeah, I'm not sure how real that was, but it makes sense. I mean, they're lacking receiver talent. Yeah, they got DeAndre Hopkins, but as soon as they got that, a lot of big time reporters were coming saying the Chiefs wanted more help at wide receiver. It made sense. They're not really getting this explosive playmaking ability, even with the guy out of Texas that they drafted, whose name escapes me at the moment. Huh?
Worthy.
Yeah. Xavier Worthy. Thank you. They just don't have this explosive element to their offense really. So it would make sense for them to. But the Dolphins, it was quite clear, despite the record, they weren't selling. They still believe they can turn it around, especially now that Tua's back. And so I don't know how real it is, but it would make sense if it was real. And as for your point about changing up what you do defensively, I'm right there with you. I get the thought process behind switching up to more zone than man against Lamar Jackson with his ability to move around, you know, and use those legs, extend plays. And even, you know, take off when need be. I get it. But when you excel in one area, you got to stick with it. Like, it's like that saying, live by the sword, die by the sword. Like, you are an aggressive defense. You play man coverage. You blitz. You do it well. Live and die by that. It would be obviously I would have preferred to win. But if they're going to go out and lose the way they did, I would have rather them stuck with what they do best defensively and lose that way instead of changing it up. Because now you're with that change up that they've done, you're now risking some extra confusion with the defense, because there were multiple plays last week where the defensive backs were confused. They were clearly not in the right position. Devin Key being one of them. And so it just can create a lot of issues. Just stick with what you do best. you know, man coverage, and they do throw in a little bit of zone, which was fine. You just can't go to predominantly zone coverage like they did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You do it with like what got you there, essentially, what got you to that ranking. I mean, it didn't get you to the playoffs or anything yet, but like what got you to the ranking of being on a, one of the higher end defenses in the league. And then you switch up to something that you're not used to playing. Yeah, that can cause confusion. And you're just not going to be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Even if you are comfortable with it, in the back of your mind, you're going to know, what are we doing this for? We are so much better at, we want to get after Lamar Jackson. We don't want to react to Lamar Jackson. We want to, what's it called? The like reaction, the difference between reaction and, anyway, you don't want to wait for him to make the move, whatever. You want to be the one that initiates everything. Because if you wait, he's too fast. You'll be half a second behind him, and he's gone. One of the things that we can help us win in this game, I key the victory, is something that Jaron Washington was talking about, with our pass rush with Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, Zach Allen. They need to get after Patrick Mahomes. I would love to see them just really give him a rough day, like they like we used to always do with Tom Brady. And the number one reason why we beat Tom Brady, I mean, the pass coverage too as well, but yeah, he was never comfortable when he played us. And that's how you have to get Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes is a tough one because he excels against the blitz, but it's been shown throughout his career there are some issues with him, you know, reading through early play pre-snap disguises that have been such a large part of the Broncos defense this year. So keep doing that. Change up your rushers, blitz, and going back to the Ravens game, because it's relevant here, especially with Zach Allen, the lack of blitzing, well, that just makes it easier for the opposing offensive line up front to handle business. Mm-hmm. The Ravens were able to double team Zach Allen almost all day, and he did nothing. So if you're not throwing blitzes, even against a quarterback who does well against blitzes, you're just throwing your best player up front in Zach Allen to the Wolves, where he's going to have a tough matchup one-on-one, and you're just going to make it two-on-one. You're just going to get him double-teamed consistently. So Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, Zach Allen, John Franklin Myers, all these guys, they have to go out there and they have to win. But Vance Joseph, again, has to help them out by being a little bit more aggressive with the play calling, blitzing, and being willing to accept that there will be times where Patrick Mahomes will beat your defense, and just, you know, they'll move the ball. And as somebody pointed out, is in the last two games, the Broncos have only allowed one touchdown, and they've been mostly holding them to field goals. And trust your defense to try to do the same thing. You're not going to keep them from scoring completely. You just have to keep them from scoring touchdowns and keep the score low so your offense can go out there and hopefully finish the game late and get you the win. So be aggressive with your blitzing and be willing to risk it against Mahomes, because you got to cause that disruption up front first and foremost.
And when you bring up willing to risk it, Rodney Garcia brings up a good point. No roughing the passer. I'm going to be willing to risk the roughing the passer just because I want Patrick Mahomes to feel, I want him to feel the defense just bearing down him at all, like every single play almost. Not every single play, but as much as possible, essentially. And I don't want, I don't know, I just don't like when people pull up in those rivalry games when you could really send a message with a good, nice hit, whatever. I know it turns into 15 yards. Maybe you shouldn't do it on third downs. Maybe it's a first down. I don't know. But it's you gotta be physical with this team.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed too this year, speaking of roughing the passer, is Patrick Mahomes isn't getting roughing the passer penalties like he has in previous years. There's only been one called against him, or against the one called in his favor, I should say, one roughing the passer thrown. And Denver's had three of them thrown against their defense. So obviously, you don't want to go overboard. You don't want to cross that boundary of being a cheap hit. Mm-hmm. But you do want to, you know, get that hit in and send a message, especially if he pulls that crap like he did on the sideline a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Like, at that point, like, send a message. I'm all for that. He took advantage of a rule, and hey, it was smart at the time, but long term, it's you're just bringing more punishment on yourself.
Yeah, I would have held that one out for the playoffs, just a bigger where it had way more of an impact. Because I don't know, maybe it turns into a Kenny Pickett situation in college. I know he can't do that fake slide anymore. Because he did something in college, huh?
And sorry, real quick, I misspoke. There have been three roughing the passers penalties called where Patrick Mahomes was hit, not one. So still, I mean, 3-8 games. It doesn't change anything else that I said. Just wanted to correct my error on that.
Get all Mighty Ducks with it. It's like well worth it.
Yeah, it's like that. Sometimes some of those penalties are worth it to send a message. It's just got to be careful of not crossing that line and not doing it too much. Once is enough. Two is too many. That kind of walk that line there.
So you got David Youngkin coming in here. He brings up a good point. I was going to bring up the next thing with the key matchups. And mine was PS2. Like, is he going to take Kelce or is he going to take D-Hop? And David Youngkin talks about how he doesn't think D-Hop can outrun PS2. I don't think he can at this age either. Maybe when he was in his prime. PS2 will surprise you. I think that maybe like the Xavier Worthies and stuff like that have got a step on him, but not the D-Hop. What do you think? Do you think he'll be playing both of them, or do you think he'll just be falling around Kelce or whoever has the hot hand, essentially?
I think that they will match him up against DeAndre Hopkins. And I do agree that DeAndre Hopkins has lost a step, but he's never been, you know, the fastest receiver. Right. So his career average for separation, or his career high for average separation, is 3.1 yards. He's only averaging 3 yards right now. What DeAndre Hopkins excels at is boxing out at the catch point and making the catch. So PS2 does a great job of contending at the catch point and closing in to make that making those even tougher to catch. So I am still on, I mean, you match up PS2 on DeAndre Hopkins and Brandon Jones and a linebacker, you double team, you kind of bracket coverage somebody else at that, you bracket Travis Kelce with that, with Brandon Jones and one of the linebackers, most likely Quan Alexander or Justin Cernod, depending on what that rotation is looking like for this one. And then you use Riley with, you know, that safety overhang the top, PJ Locke in this case, and, you know, giving
job. We need to get Jason over here a job. He's pretty much said the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The PSU on Hopkins, bracket coverage with Kelce, leave Riley one-on-one, and safety over the top.
Yep.
Wow, got a smart crowd here. That's really.
Well, they tune into us, so of course they're smart.
They tune into you. you know, you're the X's and O's guy. I try to keep up, but I'm just not at that level. Also, we'll see another matchup that we have here. Ball security for Broncos. They have eight fumbles. Or no, the Chiefs have eight forced fumbles in eight games. And then we have our fumbles with our Javonte having two, Estimate having two, Sutton having one, Humphrey having one. I don't know.
Beatty having one, McLaughlin having one.
Yeah. So you can't turn it over. It's like
you can't, no.
Wow. I don't know what they can do to work on that, but you can't give Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce a short field because you will assist them in snapping out of their funk. Even though I feel like they snapped out of their funk their last game, they played really well. But hopefully, I don't know.
Yeah, their passing game is starting to settle down a little bit. I noticed that a couple weeks ago. I kind of like wrote it off a little bit because I believe not their last game, but the week before they were playing, I believe, the Raiders. And you kind of started to see their passing game start to gel a little bit. And I kind of wrote it off because of the fact they were playing the Raiders. It might have been three games ago for them. And then I tuned in and watched their game against the Buccaneers, and they continued to sit there and grow. And I don't think this was a great time for you know, even before the season, I didn't think that this was a good time for the Broncos to go into Kansas City to take them. Anything once you start getting into November, December, it's not ideal, especially a team like the Chiefs. And then when you saw them, once you started seeing them to start the season, obviously I think anybody could wish that we were playing the Broncos like or playing the Chiefs week six or something. They are starting to put things together offensively. Their defense, which also wasn't great to start the season, they're starting to put things together a little bit. Trent McDuffie's kind of turning things around. Jalen Watson, they're kind of turning things around. Some of the young guys that they have are continuing to grow. But I think one of my big things, as I mentioned earlier, is Kareem Hunt. He's come in and start and has 411 yards for them in five games. And his he's not the most efficient per carry. He's only averaging 3.7 yards per carry, but he has a high success rate. He's like the 19th highest success rate in the NFL, which includes quarterbacks. And when you take out quarterbacks, it is goes up to 13th highest success rate. He is very successful carrying the ball. And it starts with that first down. This is what I was getting to earlier. The Chiefs are averaging 4.2 yards per carry on first down. And then from there, their passing offense, they pick up the first down, they pick up the first down on second down, or then make a third down that's easier for them to pick up. So you really want to win that first down rep and shut down the running game on that early down, so they're not putting themselves in a position where the Chiefs have excelled at consistently this offense. And fun fact here that when I was looking all this stuff up earlier this morning, there is only one team in the NFL who averages a negative yards per game and negative yards per passing play on third down and short, which is third down and one or third and two. That's the Denver Broncos. You can't average in the negatives on third and short situations.
Swing passes or screen passes that get tackled immediately.
Yep.
I hate those passes so much.
I do too. I hate screens. I hate swing passes.
I don't mind them, but they just can't be the focal point of your offense. Like, I feel like that's like 40% of his passes. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
waiting for one of the teams to take into the house. But then, so another one I was talking about would be the interior O line against Chris Jones. He hasn't really been having a Chris Jones season. He hasn't had a sack since September 29th, but he did have two sacks in that game, and he has three sacks on the year. He likes to feast on our O-line a lot, so we're going to have to hold up against him. Him and Max Crosby are the two players that I would love to steal from other teams or for other divisional matchups.
For sure.
Then you got Mahomes.
Either one of them.
Yeah, right? Mahomes against our elite cover corners to see how they can do to show they can bounce back from last game. I think that was more kind of on the scheme than it is. I mean, it was on them. They're the ones on the field, but they kind of were put at a disadvantage.
Real quick with Chris Jones, you mentioned how he hasn't had a sack since week four, where he had two of them. He has 37 pressures on the season, which may seem like a high amount. Only nine of them have come in the last three games. He's averaging three per game over the last three. It almost seems like that there's a little bit of like a tweakness. And I think if I remember right, he's actually on the injury report or was on the injury report last week and was cleared, which may not be the best sign. But I believe he was dealing with a lower body injury, which kind of slowed him down. Pulling up the injury report, he's not on it this week,
I'll see him on there.
Which is concerning. But hopefully he's still not there because, as you said, he loves to feast on the Broncos offensive line. And they move him around. I mean, last year in the first game, he went against Mike McGlinchey more than any of the guys on the interior offensive line. And they also they move him around everywhere. They like to get him in one-on-one situations against the center and just let him use his explosiveness to destroy the center. Defensively is you have to watch out for him because he can absolutely blow things up. But they have a really good defensive front. Derek Nnadi, he's really good. George Karlaftis has had a pretty solid season.
Four sacks.
I'm trying to think of who their other defensive lineman is. But he's been having a pretty solid season as well. Name is escaping me at the moment.
I was trying to pull it up. And then every time I try to pull something up and like right in the moment – I could never do it. Something. An ad pops up and it sends me somewhere else, and then I don't know. Before I know, I'd have like three viruses. I tried to pull it up and I couldn't find it. Here we go.
Tershawn Wharton is the guy I was thinking of. I'm not sure if he's a starter or just a rotational guy, but he is a. When he's on the field, he can create some issues.
I've seen a couple comments about Nick Bolton in the chat. I remember him coming out of Missouri. They were saying he had short arms, but he was a legit legit linebacker. He just didn't have the length, the ideal length that you wanted on him.
And
he played well, still starting. So
yeah, he makes up for it. That was one thing, is I didn't like the length, but I always felt that his instincts were really good and could help him cover it a little bit. I do think that the Chiefs defensive scheme also helps cover him a little bit more with how far they have him drop. Despite that lack of length, it is very hard to complete, you know, those passes that are over the linebackers, under the safeties, those over routes, because of how they have him drop. And they, with his tackling reliability, they're fine if you want to take that underneath throw and have him come up and make the play. They love it. They'd rather not give up that 10, 15-yard catch over the linebackers, under the safeties, and, you know, let an offense feast that way. But I do got to get out of here. I just got texted that they knocked on the door, and they're just waiting for me to finish up to check the fire alarms. Are you going to keep going?
Yeah, we'll go for, like, a little bit longer.
All right, Chad, I'm sorry for this. I got to get out of here. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night. Hope you guys stay safe this weekend. Again, I would say on, but they are coming to check the fire alarms, and I have one that is just a little bit, not quite above my head, but above my head and to the right. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and hope next week we are talking about the Broncos beating the Chiefs and getting ready to take on the Atlanta Falcons at home. Awesome. Have a great night, everyone, and see you next week. Later, have a good night, Kenneth. It was great seeing you, and great chatting with you.
I'll talk to you later, Matt. All right. So we got Eric leaving. That sucks, but it's all good. We're going to do a couple more things on here. I was going to talk about Denver's pass rush versus Casey's offensive line and seeing if we can get Zach Allen to get reignited again. I know that he got shut down because he was doing a lot of double teaming in the last game, but maybe we can move him around the line, get him in some better matchups, maybe do some little stunts on the defensive line. So. Yeah, I'm solo. It's a little nerve-wracking. Yeah, go Bonito. Hopefully Bonito can get a sack in this game. I know last game he did pull Lamar Jackson down behind the line of scrimmage, but apparently it was on a missed handoff. So that's why they considered it not being a sack. Somebody from the chat told me in the last game. So unfortunately, he couldn't extend his sack streak, but he still came into the season, still got some Lamar in the backfield. So hopefully he can do that in a win this time. Yeah, we all thought it was a sack. I don't know what happened. I was like, I feel like you can't consider a sack or not a sack over just based off of judgment, I guess. If you tackle the quarterback in the backfield, I feel like they should just fall back on that, and that's a sack. So what else we have here? So I did watch a little press conference with Sean Payton talking about the field. Apparently the field is a completely different field than they're normally used to. So he was talking about how changing out the cleats, the spikes, they said it was a big issue in the last time that he dealt with a slick field like that. And they were able to get ahead of that. And at the end of the game, it ended up being a big advantage for them because of their footing. And on certain plays, they were able to take it to the house. What else? Also in that interview with Sean Payton, he actually did give a lot of praise to Courtland Sutton, saying that he gave him a lot of respect for not kind of giving up after that Saints game where he had zero targets and zero catches, of course, because he had zero targets, but then came back at back-to-back 100-yard games. Hopefully the Knicks can kind of lean on him and continue to gain that chemistry since he's not going to get traded. but it would have been nice to see, kind of see Cortland go on, because it would seem nice to see him go to a winning team, especially since he did get 202 back-to-back 100-yard games. Maybe get a little extra compensation for that. And Ronnie Garcia, hoping we'd see the RPOs. Yes, I would love to see that. But not too much. You never know. Because then you don't want Jared Stidham out there if Bo's taking huge hits. But you got to use his feet. He definitely has the skills to outrun these guys. But they're pretty close. They're, like, right on his tail. So we'll see if he can get another, like, 60-yard rushing game. That'd be nice to see. I said, do you think the crowd noise will get to Bo? I don't, actually. He talked about it in an interview recently about how he actually loves those games. He hates the other games where it's not that as much ruckus going on and much fanfare. He said they're really hard to get up for because you have to, like, essentially motivate yourself. And he loved how when the crowds would get pretty crazy and loud and stuff like that, how it would motivate him. And it would become just more fun than anything. So I think he'll be okay. He also played in the SEC. His dad played in the SEC. He's been around crowds like that. I think maybe the moment more than the crowd noise of playing at Patrick Mahomes, playing in KC, playing on it's a day. It's 11 a.m. game as well, too. So, yes, he is a competitive SOB. Yeah, I love him. He's just always wanting to get better. All right. So we're going to go into the injury report now. So it looks like for Denver, Zach Allen was having some issues earlier in the week. He had limited practice on Wednesday, but it was a full go Thursday and Friday. DJ Jones was having issues with his knee, but he was a full go all week. PJ Locke's back from IR. Full participant from his thumb injury. Mike McGlinchey, full participant from his knee injury. Darian Turner-Yell was full participant Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but game status is out. Wanberg's coming back from the IR. He was limited on Wednesday, but he's a full participant on Thursday and Friday. He's a questionable game status, which would be a rough way to come back, is to go back against Chris Jones, but hey, it's the NFL. And then Drew Sanders, coming back from his injury of Achilles, he was limited all week, and he will be out for this game, so he's not going to be playing. That's unfortunate, but it's nice to see him getting back to form. As for KC, some of the bigger names, they got a bigger IR report, but Mecole Hardman, he had a shoulder knee injury. He's limited for part of the week, and then he was a full participant on Friday. Kareem Hunt was limited with a quad on Wednesday, but full for the rest of the week, full participant. George Karloftis, an abdomen injury, limited on Wednesday, but full participant for the rest. Patrick Mahomes, full participant with an ankle injury. And it looks like Juju Smith-Schuster is the only one that's going to be out. And as Eric was talking about, Tashawn Wharton, he had a knee injury. He was limited. He's questionable. So we'll never know about that one. Hopefully, he's out for one more game. But oh yes, we definitely need to wrap up Hunt and finish tackles on with Kelsey. Yeah, nothing's worse than thinking you have him wrapped up for a 1 yard gain or a 2 yard loss, and then they break it for 6 or 7 yards or even longer. And then, kind of wrapping up the show, we have some articles that just came out this week. You guys can come check it out. We got Luke Patterson's 3 keys to the Broncos upset victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. That one just came out today. Eric Trickle had one earlier this week. He was talking about the blueprint of beating the Chiefs. Nick Kendall also has the one on the NFL.com. It's talking about the Broncos playoff chances fade. I know it's like a 70% chance, I think, if they win. It's in the 70s. But it only drops to 42 if they lose. So they still have a good chance of making the playoffs. And I'll tell you about the score prediction in just 1 second. Our boss man, Chad Jensen, also has one about the Broncos get a huge boost with starting safety PJ Locke returning. So that's a really good article as well. And then the Mile High Roundtable predictions. I did have the Broncos winning. I think it's going to be a gritty, dirty game. Everybody's going to get smashed and tackled and dirty and pulling face masks and all that different stuff. It's got to be a grimy game like that. If you want to beat the Chiefs, you're not going to beat them just by firepower. Let me see. Thought I did have it. I'm pretty sure I had it. It's like 27-24. Anyway, we'll go with 27-24. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, but I did have us pulling out the victory and securing a gritty win. So hopefully. And I was also talk about last night. Did anybody watch the game last night with Jamar Chase? Oh, nice. We got some score predictions right here. 21-17 Chiefs. Fair enough. Ooh, 27-24 Broncos. But yeah, Jamar Chase, 11 receptions, 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. Joe Burrow, 428 yards and 4 touchdowns. And guess what? They still lost to the Ravens. That's how good the Ravens are. They're on a roll right now. Yeah, Lamar Jackson put on another show, 290 yards and 4 touchdowns. It was insane. I'm not sure if T. Higgins played. All right, 26-19 Chiefs. Yeah, at least all these scores are close. Yeah, I just don't want to see like a 42-10 kind of game. But anyway, so that's gonna wrap up our show for today, guys. Actually, right before that, I was gonna ask you if anybody's watching the Penguin. If you're not, you should check it out. It's the season finale this Sunday. It's an amazing show. Check it out. But that's going to wrap up our show for today. That's another episode of Dove Valley Deep Divers. If you're not doing so, please give us a follow on Twitter or X @MHHpod or at our main account, Mile High Huddle. You can also check out Eric at his X account at Eric Trickle or me at Kenneth_MHH. If you guys want to buy some merch or swag, go over to mhhmerch.com, get your swag on. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to give us drop us a like on facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram @mile_high_huddle. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave us a 5-star review for to get a chance to win merch each and every single month. And be sure to subscribe. You can't afford a super chat or get merch, like totally understand. I 100% get that. But if you like our content, please subscribe to our channel. Like, share with all your other Bronco friends. Like it truly helps the channel grow, and we really appreciate it. And yeah, thank you everybody for showing up tonight. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Don't get too crazy. If you're gonna drink, don't drink and drive. Denver Broncos for life. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the super chat. 24-16 Broncos. That would be lovely. That would be amazing. That'd be a great way to end the weekend. But yeah, thanks again, guys. Thanks for coming in. Oh, happy Veterans Day. Is anybody else a veteran in here? A veteran in here? I'm an Army veteran, 82nd Airborne. I also did some Army Reserve stuff. But yeah, have a great Veterans Day. Hang out with your family. Yeah, family comes before everything. So anyway, yeah, thanks for coming in, guys. Have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you later. Peace.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. which is why when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.